Looking Forward Our Way podcast addresses today's critical issues affecting adults in Ohio. We focus on issues that affect our money and our neighborhoods. Our expert guests are here to provide the information and resources needed to address those challenges. We are looking forward our way. Hi, this is Brett. Now, we've often stated that the pandemic may not have brought on an issue, but it certainly provided more in-depth focus on the needs of our community. And hunger was at the top of that list. Today, we're going to explore the incredible services and programs of the Mid-Ohio Food Collective. Since 1980, this organization has supported millions of Ohioans in need of nourishing meals and supportive services. Our expert guest is Charity Eierleman, Manager of Senior Hunger Programs at the Mid-Ohio Food Collective. Charity, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Charity, it is so nice to meet you. We've met in passing in previous lifetimes, but we also want to give out a huge shout out to your president, CEO, Matt Habesh, who is celebrated 40 years as directing what had been the Mid-Ohio Food Bank and now the Mid-Ohio Food Collective, and just to congratulate him on all the wonderful work he's done. So, Matt, thanks for everything you have accomplished in our community. Now, before we get into the mission of the collective, which is to end hunger, one nourishing meal at a time, co-creating communities where everyone thrives, which I just love that mission. But this mission is enormous. It's grown by leaps and bounds over the years that Matt has been in charge. We're going to dive into all of those services of the collective. But before we focus on the issue of senior housing, we want to also hear more about you. What's your background and how you became part of the collective team?
Okay, great. Well, thank you again for having me. My background is very much in social services. I've been doing that for most of my career. And Matt and I both got our start in settlement houses. So I know he began his journey at St. Stephen's, and I began mine over at Godman Guild. So we have that sort of commonality there. But I've kind of always had this interest in working with seniors, but also have a passion about nutrition. My work with seniors, I've done a lot, quite a range of things. So I taught some basic computer classes. I worked coordinating volunteers for hospice and other senior serving programs. And then my most recent position before landing at Mid-Ohio Food Collective, I was doing some case management for older adults. So I was visiting my clients in their homes and helping them with a variety of tasks and you know, getting them connected to community resources. So I learned a ton about the resources available here in Franklin County during that time. And then, you know, I was really drawn to Mid-Ohio Food Collective because of its very holistic approach to addressing hunger. Hunger doesn't happen in a bubble. There are so many things that impact someone being food insecure. And I was also drawn to their focus on fresh foods, because I think that's so important, and people are really seeing the need for that, depending on their various, dietary restrictions and things like that. So, I loved that, what had been known as Mid-Ohio Food Bank had sort of transformed right about the time the pandemic was hitting, and they rebranded and, it's no longer just Mid-Ohio Food Bank. It's also the farm and the pharmacy and the kitchen and the Mid-Ohio markets. So that holistic approach really drew me into this current role, and I've been able to continue working with a population that I'm very passionate about. It's a little bit behind the scenes, but I'm able to really keep helping people meet their basic needs using what I consider my love language, which is feeding people.
You brought up a really good point, too, that I think our current culture has lost track of what a settlement house is. Mm-hmm. Now, I learned because my degrees are in sociology and goes back to the Hull House in Chicago. Jane Hull created the settlement houses at the time of the turn of the century into the 1900s to take care of immigrant communities.
Yeah.
That it's not whether they had housing and food. It's, you know, at that point in time, they didn't have services in the community that we have now. And Central Ohio is blessed with everything that we have. The biggest problem is making sure people know that the service is there, which just as an aside, too, for our audience and to let Charity know, too, that we always put together a list of resources. So all the stuff that we talk about in our podcast today or other things that you may know about or that I may know about, we'll put it together and we'll have that list of resources on our podcast website page. So so listeners, you know, there's going to be a lot that we're going to go over today, and we'll make sure that you are able to find it easily.
Great. Yeah, I'm going to bet this next set of stats, the listener's not going to realize the extent of your services. I mean, the agency reaches 20 of the 80 of Ohio's 88 counties. That's a 500,000 Ohioans. As far west as Marysville and London, all the way to the Ohio River, on the east and south to Chillicothe, Mid-Ohio Food Collective distributed over 84 million pounds of food and groceries in 2024, or approximately 194,000 meals per day. We talked about this before recording. Some numbers you just can't put your head around. You almost have to literally see what is 194,000 meals in one place look like. But try to imagine that, 194,000 trays of food, let's put it that way, or right. lunch bags, or whatever it might
and
be.
I was going to say, lots of different places, lots of different methods to get it there, lots of different end results of how the food is distributed and packed and everything. So,
yeah. Can you give us more details on the services provided?
Yeah, and I think kind of reflecting back on when I first came to the Food Collective in 2022, I had been working in social services, so I certainly knew of the food bank and knew of pantries, but I didn't really ever think about what's the difference between a pantry and a food bank. So after being in this role, it was very quickly evident to me that, okay, the food bank itself, if you can imagine, is a big warehouse. Okay, so Mid-Ohio Food Collective has the food bank down in Grove City, massive building, tons of food, and then we're kind of the hub, and then we disperse food to over 630 partner agencies throughout those 20 counties that we serve. So we've got, you know, big semi-trucks going out every day to our partner agencies. And so, yeah, we have this extensive network of partner agencies that are overwhelmingly volunteer-led, that are the direct connect of food to our neighbors in need. So we're kind of the hub. Folks don't come directly to us for food, but they go to our partner agencies to access a variety of services, whether that's, you know, pantries, produce markets, community meals, residential mobile markets. We have senior meal programs, backpack programs, and they're all working together at ending hunger in their communities. Not only are these programs providing groceries or a warm meal, but also vital information and resources that households need, as well as a welcoming environment. So we're all working together for the same goal.
I can imagine the advances in the internet in just the last 20 years have made the job, I don't want to call it easier, but maybe more efficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your agencies can talk to you more efficiently now.
Yeah. Technology has changed the world, hasn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Well, and just keeping track, because a lot of those programs are based on federal guidelines and all of that information. So you don't want to not serve an individual, but you need to have a whole lot of information. And there are programs out there that the collective can use to keep track of who's getting what, making sure they are getting all of the services they're eligible for.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And especially we're going to talk about our seniors, how many seniors don't realize they're eligible.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
So as we said when we started our conversation, that Central Ohio has a lot of wonderful nonprofits. And when I was directing a nonprofit, what I really enjoyed was working with the other agencies, realizing how much more we could get done when we work together, as opposed to people think that we are in competition with each other because we're in competition for funding. But there's so much need out there. Everybody could be completely funded and still folks would need more. And you just mentioned that you have 630 different partner agencies you're working with. One of the things I noticed on your website is that you're not only just working with those for services, but that you provide services to your partner agency. Tell us a little bit about those collaborative efforts and what you're doing also to support those other agencies.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm a big believer in collaboration. We get so much more accomplished when we're working together. So, you know, Mid-Ohio Food Collective has a deep connect with each of our partners, and we work to provide the appropriate training, capacity building, and guidance to support their tremendous efforts. And we value those partnerships greatly. Our role is to source and provide safe, healthy food to our network, and their role is really to bring it directly to the individuals and families that are in need. So we depend on each other to carry out our respective roles, and we're so grateful for the strength and compassion of our partner network. So we do offer different trainings for our partners. Some of them are related, you know, more to the compliance aspect of some of the government programs. Some of them are more overarching in, you know, sometimes we're providing social work CEUs. So there's a wide range of supports that we offer to our partners.
I can remember looking through the list of training programs, and it's food safety. Mm-hmm. And all when you think food safety in your own home, in your own refrigerator, now make that times 100,000 people, yeah, 100,000 right. meals, and there are a lot of issues. I can remember visiting the food bank one time, and they were in the midst of upgrading refrigeration services, refrigeration units. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought? I mean, yeah. That is talk about changes in technology, mm-hmm. changes in food banks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. The collective has greatly increased the types of programs it supports. We kind of alluded to that. I mean, the food bank system itself, we've heard about, as well as the farms and the community gardens. But there's also quote-unquote pharmacies. That's spelled with an F, pharmacies, yeah. Listener, because you're not reading along with what we're reading. Also kitchens and markets. Can you talk, you mentioned those earlier. I mean, how do these programs support food stability?
Okay. Yeah. So our pharmacy program with an F, kind of a fun play on words there, works to connect fresh food options to patients through health clinics who otherwise could not afford it. And this is done through a direct referral coming from the medical practitioner to the patient. And in that, it guides them to where they can access weekly no-cost produce to help them. And then we have our Mid-Ohio Kitchen, which is providing freshly prepared, healthy meals to programs that normally could not afford the cost. So that could be a summer meal program, after-school programs. Those are just some of the places where our kitchen is providing healthier options. And then we have our Mid-Ohio Markets, and those are large-scale pantries, and those are operational at least a few times a week. And the idea is to provide a grocery shopping experience. At least half of the food there is fresh, and people can access the food regularly, weekly, with a variety of service hours offered. And then we also provide wraparound services at each of those sites to provide resources and information as needed for customers.
One of the changes has really been, as opposed to the early food banks basically packing a bag of groceries and everybody got the same thing, to now where an individual can go to a market that looks like a grocery store and they can choose what their family most likes to eat, but still have that opportunity to have the fresh food as well as shelf food.
Yeah.
There's another program, and I don't know whether this is part of that markets program or not, and I think it still exists. It's the summer food voucher that individual, and it's for older adults where they can get a voucher for fresh food from farmers markets.
Yes. Yes. I'm familiar with that program. That's something
the Department of Agriculture does it through the Department of Aging.
Yes, I believe you're correct. And that's a program that is operated through Life Care Alliance. And so I believe that that has shifted a little bit. It used to be, like you said, a prepacked box of produce directly from the farmers. And then during the pandemic, or actually during before that, it was the voucher program. Right. Then for the pandemic, they shifted it over to the boxes. And now I think there might be a choice between the two.
Okay. I used to do it in Delaware County. I would go and sign people up at the farmers markets. Mm-hmm. And at one point in time, they had $100 of vouchers per person, which was a significant amount of fresh produce they could get at a farmer's market over the summer.
Yes.
And it included plants early in the summer. Hmm. So if you wanted to grow your own tomatoes, you could get a tomato plant that you could take home and do. So, you know, listeners, if you've got an older adult, there are programs out there to not only help them with food stability, but to also make it a fun experience.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely remember talking to many of my clients over the years doing case management who really missed that, you know, growing up on a farm kind of experience and that gardening and getting their hands in the dirt.
Right,
so, I think you're right. That's a great way to address it.
This is all leading up to a program that is a federally funded, locally directed program called SNAP, which people may remember as food stamps. And I found it interesting that not only does the collective work with SNAP recipients, but they're also helping people get into the SNAP program to the tune of like 5,000 people a year. I mean, that's a lot of paperwork to be helping. How did that happen? And tell us a little bit about what the collective is doing in that area.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how that exactly started. That was before my time at the collective, but I know that, you know, SNAP greatly impacts individuals and families in providing additional food resources, you know, in a time where grocery prices are higher and wages aren't increasing at the same rate. You know, people are really struggling to afford higher rents, medical costs, grocery bills, and so SNAP can really provide that extra amount that can buffer individuals and families from having to choose between paying for a prescription or eating that day. And so the collective now has a benefits and outreach team that is able, you know, they're out there helping our customers get connected to this resource. So
that is wonderful. That takes a lot of training to work through those programs and to get people not more than just filling out the paperwork, but to actually make sure it's going to be a successful process.
Yes,
so.
Agreed. Yeah.
The collective announced the creation of a human services hub in the Eastland area. It's a 67,000 square foot building. It's going to hold programs, your programs, but also other nonprofit services. It's a health center and be supported by other programs such as public transportation. Can you give us an update on the hub?
The hub that you're referring to is now being called the Eastland Prosperity Center, and it's under renovations as we speak.
What was it before?
It was an old Kroger building.
Okay. Yeah. So at least anybody that's in that area kind of knows, that's what that was.
Yes.
Okay.
It's near Refugee Road.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, and so Mid-Ohio Food Collective is leading the charge in this initiative, and it is, again, a collaboration with service partners in the area who really understand the needs of that community. And, you know, there's been a lot of collaboration in this development and design, and we're very excited to begin the next phase. The concept's really to have a Mid-Ohio market model operational in the facility every weekday. And then the facility will also include a number of supportive services such as medical screenings, SNAP enrollment, and case management. It's essentially going to be a one-stop service space for everyone who enters.
Nice. Yeah, I could see, multiple needs for that, but it's also nice to see a building. And I don't know the building intimately, but it's good to see buildings being reused for a purpose that's like, it's right on a bus line, right. I'm sure, or near, and it's there. Just have to remodel it inside and take advantage, rather than building it from the ground up.
Exactly.
That's super.
Are there specific communities that are going to be the focus of this hub, or is it open to anybody?
I believe it'll be open to anybody, but we definitely recognized that area of town was underserved.
Mm. Oh, right. So we're going to shift this a little bit to talking about older citizens. and how we can meet their needs, keep them active, and ensure that they're not scammed, abused, and ignored. Needless to say, I think we've hit all of those topics in different podcasts. Yeah. You know, but senior hunger, that hit me. That just like hit my heart when I heard that term. It is a critical topic. It was during the pandemic. I don't know that we focused on it as much. I think issues of children and young families had always been sort of the headline in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And suddenly during the pandemic, we realized that seniors not only couldn't pay for food, but they couldn't even get the food to their house then with the pandemic on top of it. The Collective provides for a program called the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, CSFP. And it provides a box of shelf-stable goods once per month. Give us a little details. And what exactly do you mean by shelf-stable?
Yeah.
I'm assuming peanut butter.
It almost always has peanut butter. That was a great guess, Carol.
Yes, we all have that.
Yes. So Commodity Supplemental Food Program, or CSFP, can be a bit of a mouthful at times. And so a lot of people know this as the senior commodity box. So some of you may have heard of it referred to as that. And great question. What is this shelf-stable box of food? It is generally going to be canned. There's going to be some canned meats, canned fruits and vegetables. There's usually a jug of juice, a couple of boxes of cereal, and some shelf-stable milk. There's going to be usually pasta or rice, and then the peanut butter, and usually raisins come in it. And then there's also a block of cheese. So I kind of like to think of this as a monthly subscription because it's a monthly program, and once somebody signs up and is approved for the program, they're enrolled for a year, and then they have to renew. It's for seniors who are 60 and older, and I think it's important to note that the income guidelines for this program just recently increased significantly. You know, from 1 year to the next, we'd see the income guidelines go up, you know, $20 a year for a single senior. But this year it went up almost $300 per month. So while historically it's been 130% of the poverty level to qualify, it's now up to 150%. So that's going to really open up this program to a lot of seniors who maybe didn't qualify before, but can access the program now. Now, in terms of what we saw during the pandemic, I think we certainly saw the isolation of seniors being highlighted at that time, definitely, and as well as their willingness to leave home for many things, including, you know, picking up groceries. And so during the pandemic, it was hard for a lot of our senior customers to access this program because what we were doing in most cases was sending out these boxes to community partners. So a senior might have to go out to the community center or a senior center to pick that box up every month. And so even without the pandemic, we, you know, certainly see seniors with mobility challenges. You know, I think that's one of the biggest barriers for this population. It could be their own physical mobility, but it could also be transportation. And so in an effort to serve more homebound seniors in 2021, we started a home delivery program for CSFP using Amazon Flex to get more of these commodity boxes distributed. And then last fall, we were able to expand that program in Franklin County, where we had originally been sending out about 400 to 450 boxes each month. We are now sending over 1,200 boxes a month to seniors directly to their homes. So they don't have, we're taking that middleman out of the scenario there, and it comes right to their door.
It's perfect. It shelf stable goods being on a truck to be delivered is no different than sitting on a shelf at a grocery store.
Right.
So they can get this box on top of the opportunity to get fresh fruits and vegetables
in a pantry.
In the pantry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then in addition to CSFP, another really impactful way that we're reaching seniors is by identifying large concentrations of need and bringing services to them. We do these senior mobile markets that serve low-income senior housing communities. So you can kind of imagine it as a pop-up farmer's market in a community room of a low-income senior housing building. And it's a really convenient way for seniors to access food without the need for transportation. And then it's, you know, we're bringing fresh produce to these communities. And then when we do have, you know, sometimes we have eggs and dairy products available, and we will bring those, you know, when we have those as well.
And that's called?
Senior mobile market.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really well received by the customers. They love it.
Nice.
How many folks do you think are being served in that?
That's a good question. Off the top of my head, oh gosh, just within Franklin County, I would say we probably have 10 to 15 different communities that we serve with that. And they all range, you know, they might have 25 customers up to, you know, 80. You know,
and how often is that?
Monthly. Yeah. Yep. Nice. And they all know, you know, once a month our community room is transformed and we can shop. So
nice. Yeah. Well, seniors can be eligible for various programs, as you mentioned, SNAP and then the senior commodity box, CSFP. But there are some, I'm sure, complex limitations, parameters, and rules that got to be followed. Follow the money and the money follows that sort of thing. Can you discuss how the various programs can actually work against each other, such as when incomes fluctuate? I mean, I'm sure that's how you guys have a handle on it, but I'm sure it's got to be complex too. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you asked this question because I think this is it can be complicated, I think, in the various, you know, eligibility requirements for all the different programs, but I think it's a common misconception that a senior can't access all of those.
I mean, you just brought up that, great example. So that many, you can do this, but you can also do this and this.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so many times people lose one program because they get another program. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a bump up here and then it affects something else. And that, I think folks will assume the worst.
Right.
As opposed to asking the question, can I?
Yes.
And people need to keep asking those questions.
Yes. Yeah, we get that question a lot with CSFP. A lot of folks just assume that since they receive Meals on Wheels that they can't get CSFP or vice versa. Okay. And we're quick to tell them, no, you can access both of those. And you can also access SNAP. You can also access the Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program that you referred to earlier, Carol. You know, those can all be tapped into. And, you know, certainly, they all have different income guidelines and different requirements. So it's just, you know, have to be mindful of those. But some people might qualify for every single one of those programs. And while they might not be able to use all of them, you know, they can kind of piecemeal together a plan that works for them. So, you know, it's a great way to extend that grocery budget in a time when we're seeing that continued increase in food costs. And then, you know, certainly there's all of those programs, but they can also shop at pantries. And, you know, we know that many seniors have limited incomes that can easily be eaten up by rent, utilities, medical bills, and it just doesn't leave a lot, you know, to put food on the table at the end of the day. So I also see the benefit, you know, having this wide variety of programs can really help seniors find resources that match their dietary needs as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the things that we've talked about in many of our podcasts with senior needs is that seniors are often taking care of other family members. They themselves may be 60 or 65, but they could be taking care of a parent in their 80s and 90s or grandchildren. And that there's just a lot of people around the table that need to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When an individual is in need of food, what are the first steps that you suggest they should take to get on that positive path to food stability?
Yeah, good question. So if a senior over the age of 60 is specifically interested in the commodity box, Mid-Ohio Food Collective now has a CSFP customer service line. So if they're specifically interested in that program, I would recommend that they give us a call if they're living in our service area. And that phone number is 614-317-9443. And then for really individuals of all ages, freshtrack.com is a great place to find resources with, you can do a quick search with a zip code. And FreshTrack is spelled fresh, FreshTrack, and then track is, we like to misspell track, TRAK.com. But you can put a zip code in there and it'll pull up resources that are happening today. And if you scroll down, it'll show what's happening tomorrow.
Is that available for across the country?
So that is, it is a Feeding America program. Not all food banks use it, but we do at Mid-Ohio. So any, anybody living in our 20-county service area could use that. And then if somebody's living out of Mid-Ohio Food Collective service area, I just encourage them to reach out to their local food bank or pantry to see what resources are available.
Usually nonprofit organizations, the information on them is available through something like the United Way or the 2-on-1 program. Mm-hmm. Food pantries would be considered under that too, I would assume.
Yeah, you can find some information, I think, through 2-on-1. Some of the pantries do require a reservation, and those usually go through 2-on-1. And all of that information can be found on, freshtrack.com.
Okay. And again, listeners, we're going to have all of this on our resources sheet. So we would love to have you come back and listen to the whole podcast again, but you don't necessarily have to.
Right. So. Exactly. Yeah. One topic we haven't covered is the incredible team of volunteers that support the Mid-Ohio Food Collective. It's a group of 17,000 dedicated individuals. They provided over 104,700 hours of service. That translates into $3.2 million of savings. What are you looking for in a volunteer? And if a listener is interested, how do they sign up?
Mid-Ohio Food Collective is always in need of volunteers as well as donors who are dedicated to our mission to end hunger one nourishing meal at a time, while co-creating communities where everyone thrives. So if you're dedicated to that mission, we're always looking for volunteers and donors. Volunteers with a varying skill set, are welcome, to join us. In our programming for seniors, we recently added some volunteer positions to assist with data entry or even with the logistics of our CSFP delivery program. So we have some volunteers who are regularly coming in and helping us, direct the Amazon Flex drivers to picking up those boxes and giving them instructions on how to get those to our seniors' doors. At the collective, we certainly have volunteers who are coming into the food pantry to volunteer, who may organize food drives, at work or church. We have some volunteers coming in to our Mid-Ohio markets or even the kitchens or farms. And then, certainly have donors that make a financial contribution to support our mission as well. So, if you're interested in doing any of those things, please visit MOFC, which just stands for Mid-Ohio Food Collective. So that's MOFC.org. And if you click on Get Involved, that's your best way to find out more about each of those opportunities.
I'm glad you talked about donors, too. I've been a longtime supporter of the Mid-Ohio Food Collective. And for many folks, you may not be able to get out and volunteer for whatever the reason. Mm-hmm. Other commitments, mobility issues yourself. If you're looking at supporting an organization in our community, every penny counts. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you gave me some updated information about money and about information about the collective. For every dollar that's donated, it equals 2.5 meals of food distributed to their customers. And every dollar donated is equivalent to $4.56 in groceries. Your dollars count, and they can be stretched to the absolute limit. Matt has that down pat. Mm-hmm. So, listeners, this is a great organization, and I'm so glad that that you came to join us today, Charity. It's been wonderful to meet you and to hear more about the programs. And we always give our guest experts an opportunity to provide us with some last words of wisdom.
Oh, well, Carol, how much time do we have?
as much as you need.
I think that we have so many opportunities for creative solutions to addressing not only senior hunger, but also social isolation, which is, plaguing our seniors, I think, now. And, that can be addressed in so many different ways. Thinking about food specifically, it can be, through sharing a meal, with a neighbor. It could be getting involved in a community gardening, like you said, just, growing some of your own food. And I think, gardening is very much a lost art at this point. And I think I mentioned earlier, I had clients that absolutely loved reflecting and reminiscing about their time growing up on the farm and all of the different knowledge they had about that. So I think even if a senior isn't able to physically contribute and, get down and get their hands in the dirt, they definitely have experience and wisdom that needs to be shared with younger generations. We're losing some of these skills and some of this knowledge that used to just be part of daily life.
Right.
So I think gardening is a great way. I could really see some cooking groups forming at some senior communities, these same community rooms that, turn into a farmer's market once a month could really also be a hub for community meals and cooking together and, getting to know your neighbors better and then also sharing a meal. In the work I do, I really see a lot of discussions about reshaping what healthy aging looks like. And I encourage anyone who's interested in making a difference to engage in any of these activities. Contact your local senior center. Find out if there's a village in your area. This is a growing movement in the Columbus area, and villages are designed to help seniors age in place by taking a neighbors helping neighbors approach. And, it's not a new concept, Decades ago, everybody knew their neighbors. That was, now we don't. And so it's a way to sort of get back to basics when it comes to socializing and knowing who your neighbors are. I see house sharing. That's another option that is becoming a little more looked at. And that addresses multiple problems. We have so many seniors who, have been in their homes for decades and, while they maybe had a full house at one time, they might be the only person living there now and they have all this space that they don't really need, but they could use the help around the house. They could, benefit from sharing a meal with a roommate. So, I think the Golden Girls were really on to something.
Absolutely. That's my ideal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I I'm really excited to see what aging in place looks like over the next 20 to 30 years.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes. Many thanks to our expert guest, Charity Ireland, manager of senior hunger programs at the Mid-Ohio Food Collective, for joining us. Listeners, thank you for joining us as well. You're going to find contact information and the resources we discussed in this episode in our show notes and on our website at lookingforwardourway.com. And we are looking forward to hearing your feedback on this or any of our other podcast episodes.
The views and opinions expressed by the experts interviewed on this podcast are their own and don't necessarily reflect the views of the podcast hosts or any affiliated organizations. The information provided in these interviews is for general informational purposes only and should not be considered as professional advice. Listeners are encouraged to consult with qualified professionals for specific advice or information related to their individual circumstances. The podcast host and producers don't endorse or guarantee the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of any information provided by the experts interviewed. Listener discretion is advised.